Morning, church.
Morning, church.
It's amazing when God is here. Worship was really cool. It was really anointed. I have a great expectation for the Holy Spirit to meet us here this morning. I've got a question for us. What if God were to take away the church? What would we do? What if that was not a biblical thing to do? How would we live our lives? Would we start to live as if every day is church? Or we still have the mentality and the culture that every 7 days we're going to church? It's just a question that came up with me. I think we have often gotten into a culture of going to church every 7 days that we've forgotten to live Christ. To live is Christ and to die is gain. That's not what I'm going to talk about. It's just something that came up with me. But before we go on, is there anyone that has pain in their body this morning? Pain? Just raise your hand. Pain? Who has pain in their body? Pain? Pain? Okay, everyone that raised their hand, I just quickly want you to stand up. And the person next to you. Everyone that has pain in their body. Just want someone that's next to you just to lay your hands on wherever there is pain. If you're allowed. I'm just joking. I want us to agree as a corporate body. We're just going to pray a prayer of healing. Because pain is not from body. Oh, not from God. Okay. Father God, we just pray for every person's pain in their body to leave in the name of Jesus. We command it to leave. Thank you for healing, Father God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you touch them. And that there's no more pain. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay.
Is pain gone? Is it? Now I want you to be honest because we're obviously going to pray for you again. Does it come and go? JPU? Sure. Okay. Paul? No more pain. Okay. We need to start living in a culture of praying for one another, even though if healing doesn't happen. It's not that there's something wrong with God. We just don't know how to do it yet. We just don't have that intimate relationship with God to know how to do it. I've seen amazing miracles when we walk with the cross in Van Hill, how people get healed. Yesterday evening, we watched the movie Holy Ghost. It's recommended for everyone. Go and watch it. It's how there's someone, I can't remember who was the producer, but he went out without a plan. The Holy Spirit directed him. And the Holy Spirit touched a lot of people. People got healed. And they just went for God's will. And I want us to create a culture of where we pray for one another. If you're not doing it in church, we're definitely not going to do it outside because we are afraid of people. We are very intimidated about people and what they say. And that intimidation kind of quenches our faith instead of walking out in a boldness. What was very interesting in the movie is that there's a sensationist. They believe that the gift of the Holy Spirit has stopped. It stopped with the apostles. And they are very... they're very in love with the Word of God, and the holiness of God, and the fear of God. And then we have the charismatics, which is very in love with the Holy Spirit. And they don't actually sit on the same spectrum because the charismatics, they would like the church to return as it was in the days of Acts and the Church of Corinth. And the sensationists, they believe in the holiness and the fear of God and all these. And there's nothing wrong with both of them. But what would happen if we meet halfway? What would happen if we have such a desire and a passion to be excellent in the Word of God, as well as walk intimately with the Holy Spirit? I believe we will start to see revival in many people's lives. And that was very, very awesome for me to see. It was very great to see how these people go out, and they just go out in boldness. They don't care what the people say, if it's in a restaurant, if it's on a boat. It's awesome. But I believe it's very important that we also have a love for the Word of God. I don't know, actually, what God wants to do, but I know He wants to speak about intimacy. I have a few scriptures here. Because it's a work that the Holy Spirit needs to do. I'm just quickly going to pray for us. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are here, that you're always here. We don't have to invite you in. You are here. Lord, I pray that we would change so that we can enter into your presence. Lord, I pray that we would be able to see an intimate part of who you are. God, we trust you. We want to take risks for you. And Lord, we're putting out our faith, Father God. Lord, I pray that you would restore your power in the church. Lord, I pray that you would restore a hunger and a passion for your word in the church. Father God, we don't want to be lukewarm anymore. And we repent of that in the name of Jesus. Amen. God created us in the beginning for intimacy. He created us to be intimate. And whatever you're going to be intimate with, you're going to reproduce. So if you're intimate with the world, you're going to reproduce fruits that looks like that of the world. When you're intimate with God, you're going to produce fruits that comes from God. And John, as well as Jesus, said, you will know them by their fruits. So when we spend intimate time with God, we start to bear God's fruits. Long-suffering, joy, peace. Seriousness is not fruit of the Holy Spirit, as the Ren Collective says. And I think we often get very serious, and we shouldn't. When God created Adam, he created someone he wanted to be intimate with. But even then he saw that Adam needed a helper. And he created Eve so that they can also be intimate. In the beginning, there wasn't sin, so that intimacy was pure. It was really holy, and they walked in the coolness of day. But then obviously sin entered. Hell is real. Sin is real. I think we hear it not too often in church, but hell is real. Sin is real. But Jesus did die for us so that we can have that intimate relationship again when we come to Christ and give up everything. I just want to make something very clear. Salvation is a miracle. It's nothing to do with us. And after we get saved, that's where our pursuing comes in. Jesus gave everything. He went the whole way. He gave his son. God gave his son so we might have eternal life. He gave up everything. And then we often think after we come to salvation, we try out Jesus for 2 or 3 years, and then things get tough because then relationship needs to be built, and we give up, or we get offended, or we leave the church. Or we even right off our friends. And that's because we lack that thing about intimacy, what true intimacy is. Intimacy, I'm just going to say it straight. The world has defined intimacy in a certain manner in the way things have been done. Everything is instant. We have instant coffee. We have drive-throughs. We have... If something breaks, you don't fix it, you buy a new one, you buy a better one. There's always a better product on the market. Marketing is such that you don't need this, but they actually convince you that you need it. So everything is there's a very great perversion in intimacy. Same with pornography. Everything is fake in pornography. And then when we want a reference of how to be intimate with our wives, we either go to the world, we go to our friends, and we don't go to Scripture. So even everything in that is fake. So we have a very delusional way often to think about intimacy, even the role of a husband and a wife. Wives, you're not supposed to pursue your husbands. If he doesn't pursue you anymore in your relationship, then you start to pray for him, because something is wrong with his relationship with God. Because if he pursues God, he knows he needs to pursue you as well. Don't start to fill his role. Don't start to make date nights. Don't start to take away that part of him that he needs to know to pursue. And I believe, ladies, we need to receive. And that part of intimacy we often get wrong. We want a quick fix. If we go through a tough, troubling time, we don't wrestle with God. If you look at Abram, if you look at Isaac, if you look at Enoch, there's very little written about him. But he walked so intimately with God. He only lived 300 years. That day, he lived 600, 900 years. And then he was taken away. But if you can look at Abram, how he intimately wrestled with God. He said, God, even if there's 50 people in Sodom and Gomorrah, save them. And then he takes another step and like, Lord, even if there's 40 or 30, 10. And then God does something amazing. After that wrestling, he goes and saves Lot. Abram never asked him for that one. He stopped at 10. But God, or 5. But God knew what was in Abram's heart. He knew why he wrestled with him. So he went and he saved Lot. Lot was his nephew. And that's that wrestling with God that we need to learn. It's not a quick fix. If you think you're going to get out of a certain situation, I've done it many times. I would back off out of a situation at work because it's just too tense and I don't like the conflict. And then God will just take me there again. A few months from there, he'll take me there again because there's something I need to learn. There's a decision I need to make. And there's something about my character that needs to become more godly, more like His. Now, intimacy with God is very special. It's very pure. It's very holy. And it's something He wants to share with us. But when Nadia said, I remember that scripture in James 4, when we draw near, He draws near. Why? Is there a pursuing from our side now? Because Jesus went all the way. There's a heart pursuing after Him when we come to salvation. It's not a figuring Him out like, oh, let's play God in this box, and He works in this way, and He works in that way, and salvation can only happen in this and this and this way. No, it's not a figuring out of God, but it's a pursuing of Him. It's an intimate relationship where we pursue His heart. We pursue who He is, and we sit with Scripture. We sit in prayer. We labor in it. We don't just hour and a half. This is what I do because I'm very disciplined. Hour and a half in the morning, that's the time I spend with God, and I tick it off, and then I go. And then after 3 days, my relationship in Yakumin, with Yakumin gets a bit rocky, and that's my first indication that I'm not actually spending time with God. I'm not sharing my heart. I'm not pursuing what He wants to tell me in Scripture. And then I go back, and then I run to you, and I'm just like, okay, God, what's going on? You can read Bible, and you can pray, and you can go to church. That doesn't mean you're intimate with me. It's the same. Husband and wives, they can have sex and not be intimate. I've heard it many times. Then it's a lustful thing. Then we have a lustful relationship. It's what we can get out of it. Intimacy is that place of pursuing God and pressing in into that place where He starts to reveal His secrets. I quickly want to read us. Matthew 6, verse 6. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. How beautiful is that? Who is in the secret place. And if you just read a bit further in the manner of how Jesus taught His disciples to pray, in Matthew 6, verse 9 to 10, it says, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, the first scripture, verse 6, it says, shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And then it says, our Father in heaven. So where is the secret place? It's in heaven. And what is also in heaven? You just read a bit further. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I believe when we spend intimately time with God, when we close that door and say, Lord, no distractions. It's only me and you. I'm going to press in. I'm going to pray. I'm going to share my heart. I want you to share yours with me. Then I believe He reveals His will as well. We don't ask God to partner with us. We partner with God. His will. That is already written. It is already established. We can't change His will. We can't add to it. It is already there. It's our work. It's our job with this intimacy that we have with Him, this love that He pours out, we pour out to Him. In that place, He starts to reveal to you exactly what He wants you to do. And it can only come from a long and hard pursuing, because if we read later on in Scripture, I didn't put it up there. You should actually read the whole Matthew 4 till 10. It's amazing. Matthew 7, it says, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearl before swine, lest they trample them under their foot and turn and tear you in pieces. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Ask, but not only ask, seek. Not only seek, knock. It's that place of pursuing God. And why does, just before that 7, He says, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their foot and turn and tear you in pieces. Do you think Jesus will tell you to do something that He won't do? He won't cast His pearl before swine. He won't throw what is holy to the dogs. There's a pursuing of God's heart that we need to understand. It's not a religious act. It's not a box that we tick. It's every day. And I've only learned it now, and I'll probably learn it even more when I get married. But there isn't a day that I don't want to spend with Yakumin. There isn't a day when I want to hear what's on our heart. And if we haven't spent time for a while, it's like kind of difficult. And it's like, oh, I first have to like kind of win her heart over again and just to hear what has happened. And then she opens up, and then we have an awesome conversation. And that has given me such a great example of with God. If you haven't spent time with Him for a long time, you don't want to spend time with Him. You don't want to spend time with Him. It's difficult and everything gets too much and it gets like a heap. And then God needs to do something radical, and then we come to Him and then we run to Him and then we sit with Him again. But when we spend that intimate time with Him daily, then we just know what He wants and what He needs to do. About 2 weeks ago, I made a few decisions for the end of the year. And I didn't have peace in my spirit. And I couldn't understand why. And Lord, I am spending time with You, and what's going on now? And then my indicator, me and Yakumin, okay, there's something's wrong. Run to Jesus. And I start to press in, and I start to pray, and I start to read Bible. And I'm like, God, I can't do this. What's happening? Why? And then He starts to show me the decisions that I made without Him. I was like, but Lord, that's good decisions. Yes, He said, yes, that's good decisions. But it was never partnering with me. And I'm like, okay, God, what do You want to do? What do You? And then I changed my decisions. And then everything came through. Everything was put on hold before I made the decision with God, before I partnered with the Holy Spirit. I imported a suit for my wedding. I've never had such a beautiful suit. It cost me an arm and a leg, but it's okay. I saved for it, and it's a beautiful suit. I'm so excited. But now I had to pay South African tax, and I also had to pay import tax. And I was like, I'm not paying both of those taxes. There's no way. And the invoice that they sent, it needs to have an address that in Namibia as well as where it comes from. And for a week long, I've been battling with these people. Like, God, I'm battling with God and I'm battling with these people. Like, Lord, please, just the invoice. Really, this is a lot of money. That thing on the airport, it's going to get stolen. It's really going to get stolen. Nothing works out and the work is chaos. And until I made those decisions with the Holy Spirit. They call me right after I prayed. They call me. Oh, your invoice is right. Your invoice has been corrected. You can go pick up your parcel. I'm like, wow, okay, God. In Your will, there is freedom. And that oppression isn't there. So it was really awesome to see how when I started to partner with the Holy Spirit, yeah, amazing stuff happened. You shouldn't just do stuff to do stuff. And we want to, because after you come to salvation, it's such a beautiful prize. You want to do stuff for God. You want to. But then He says, like, no, you can't do that. You can't do this. Those are good stuff, but it's going to wear you out. I actually called you for something else. I have this part of my calling, of my will that I want you to do. Don't do that part. You're very anointed in this part. Like me and Carl, we sit in different offices. He's brilliant with parenting. I will hate it. I won't want to teach people how to raise their kids. I want to teach people how to go out and evangelize. And that's how God made us differently. And He set out different parts of His will for us to partner with the Holy Spirit. But I want us to know that it can only come from a place of intimacy. And it's a long pressing in. There were months that I don't hear the Holy Spirit. There were months that I don't understand anything in Scripture. But that long pressing in, that hard pressing in of, God, what do You want? Lord, what is Your will? And then one day, just everything starts to link. And I freak out and I'm just writing a sermon. And, oh, Lord, this Scripture and that Scripture, it links together and it speaks to my heart. And then you get excited, because then you go out and you meet friends that are now friends. God, he has such an amazing testimony, just how God just intervened in his life. And that was burst from a place of intimacy. Now the church just slots in with that. It's amazing. It's really, really amazing. Before Jesus gets to this point where he says, pray in your room in that secret place, he addresses the heart. He addresses murder. He addresses all those things that the Pharisees had, this beautiful shell on the outside. And in the charismatic church, we also have a shell, very much. We often just raise our hands, just come to church. We don't actually live a lifestyle of faith. And he addresses that. Before he says, like, come to the intimate part, because the pure in heart will see God. That's what Scripture says. He wants us to sort our hearts out with Him. He wants us to have this intimate fight. Jacob, he wrestled with God until he got a new name, Israel. How awesome is that? He went into this battle and this intimacy with God until he had a new name. That is amazing. David, look at his Psalms. He moans in most of his Psalms. And then sometimes it changes. It always changes. Because then after he shared his heart, he proclaims who God is. And then he just starts to follow God's will again. David was a man after God's own heart. He always sought God first before going into a battle. And if he didn't, it was chaos. He always asked him first. There are certain decisions that we need to make, certain costs that we need to count in our Christian life. And it's not for the worse. It's actually for the better. It's for a more intimate space and position in his heart. Matthew 6, verse 19 to 21. Do not lay for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your heart is, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where are our hearts this morning? Do we long for the stuff of the world? Or do we want to have eternal treasures? Do we want to first seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and the rest shall be added? That can only be birthed from a place of intimacy. I can't do that for you. Your friends can't do that for you. Your husband or your wife can't do that for you. They can assist you. But that change, that intimate longing for God, and the change of your heart, where you want to be eternal focused, where you want your treasures to be in heaven, that place only Jesus can do. And that's what I pray for will happen today. I'm going to end off with the last scripture. Now, where is that now? Oh, yeah, it's in 12. Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, a yoke is this thing that they had over oxes when pulling a plow. There were two oxes, and it was just like this wooden thing that over them. And there were two oxes that had to pull that thing. It wasn't just one. So when Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, who's next to you? Jesus. So he's pulling that cart with you, or that, what do you call it, plow. He's pulling that plow with you. Because obviously the ground also needs to be tilled for where seeds need to be sown. But you can't do it alone. It's a partnering with the Holy Spirit. And he has that yoke because he pulls with you. It's a partnership. It's something we do with God. It's not something we can do alone. And you know what? If you're so close to someone, you can't help but hear what he's saying, can you? So when Jesus starts speaking to you, you obviously know when we need to go right and when we need to go left. But if you go left and he goes right, it's got to be a bit of chaos. You're going to be a bit of a bumpy ride because the right side is actually the correct side, and the left side is the one that you want to do. When he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. We often don't understand why God wants what he wants, but he knows best. And there's a place where you will know why he's telling you to do what you need to do, and there's a place you won't know. Because sometimes you need to know in order to walk out in boldness. And sometimes you don't need to know because you need to take that risk of trusting him, because that's a relationship. There's a very hard scripture where when we come to God one day, we're not going to come as shofar. We're not going to come as Paul and Saskia. We're just going to come as ourselves. And he's going to either say, depart from me, you practice lawlessness, did what you want, I never knew you. Or he's going to say, I knew you and you did what I desired. And that new speaks of is yada in Greek, and it means intimacy. It means intimacy as you have with your wife. And that's the intimacy God speaks about. And he says, let me not quote this wrong. Then go to non. Psalm 1 verse 7, and he knows those who trust in him. So when he says, depart from me, I never knew you, that meant I never trusted him. And that speaks about a true relationship when we take that risk to trust him. When we say, God, I don't want to do this. I don't want to pray for that person. I don't want to pray for my boss. I don't want to share the gospel right now at this moment. But Lord, I'm going to do it. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to risk everything, and I'm going to lay down my life. I'm going to deny myself. I missed it so badly on missions in Rundu. That's why I'm bringing this message. We went to Rundu. Awesome. Excited. And when we got there, we were booked with another missions team for one day. It was a double booking. And we were kind of like, oh man, double booking. What did they do? Don't fellowship with the people. And then they go. And you know what? That should have been an indicator that, okay, something in our hearts are not lekker. And then there's another team that gets booked. Yeah, getting double booked, like on our spot. After we, and then we should have actually been like, okay, God, this is not coincidence. Why does this happen? And these people, they didn't know Jesus. And I didn't spend time with God for 3 days on that mission because I was too busy doing good things. I was too busy doing stuff. And I was in the bye-bye and speaking to God, and then, but I never sat with Him. And that morning when they were the double booked team were to go, were to leave, I spent time with God intimately. And the Holy Spirit said to me, you were called for those team, for that team. And Auntie Doris comes to me and she's like, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. We are supposed to evangelize that team. But you know what? We missed it. All the evangelists were woken up at the same hour. Maritza was also woken up and said, and the Holy Spirit told her, go to Johnny. We didn't respond. We weren't sensitive enough because we didn't spend intimate time with God. And it was the most awesome mission ever because I learned the most precious thing. We always over-spiritualize everything because that is intimacy with God. I want us to stay. I'm just going to let Adrian just play for us in the background. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for this morning. Thank you that this is not a condemning word, Lord, but it's actually inspiration to spend more time with you. Father God, we only want to do your will, because your will, there is freedom, Lord. Doors open up, and we can walk in it with just boldness, and we can speak about who you are. But the Holy Spirit, we can't do this. We need you, God. We need you to create a new passion and a desire in our hearts to follow you strongly. I want every eye to be closed. That's all. If you're here this morning and you have never had intimacy with the Holy Spirit, you have given your heart to God, but you have never had intimacy, true intimacy. I want you to raise your hand, please. Thank you. Thank you for that boldness. I believe we all are deceived that didn't raise our hands. Because I also want more intimacy with God. I want you to battle with God. I want you to wrestle with God. To ask for more. For more of who He is. To know more about Him. It's only about Him. But if you're here this morning and you've never met Jesus Christ, you are heavenly burdened. Remember, hell is real. Sin will be judged. But Jesus Christ can save you from this because He has carried your punishment. If you haven't entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ as your only Savior who died for you and who rose, I want you to raise your hand and say, I want to meet Jesus today. If there's anyone like this here this morning, please raise your hand. I want to pray with you the most awesome prayer ever. Or even if you have backslidden and you want to make a recommitment this morning, please raise your hand and say, I want intimacy with God. I want to enter back into relationship with Him. Holy Spirit, thank you for your conviction. Holy Spirit, thank you for turning hearts to you. Thank you, Father God, for working in people's hearts. Lord, we know that we often get busy with nonsense. I was busy with that all my life, Lord. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for salvation, for the people that are here. Lord, but I pray if there's a person here this morning that we don't know about, that needs you, God, I pray that you would convict them, Holy Spirit, to raise his hand, just to say, this is me, this is where I'm at. So if there's anyone here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ, they haven't entered into relationship with him, I'm not talking about going to church, praying, or reading Bible. I'm talking about a living relationship with Jesus. Quickly raise your hand. If you know you are outside of God's will this morning and you want to enter back into his will, you need to battle with him. I would gladly pray for you and I will stay behind. But you need to battle with him, and I'm going to ask the band to play us a last song where we can just worship. And I want you to come to the front while worshiping and just say, Lord, even if you're in the worship band and you want to respond as well, then just come before God and say, Lord, I'm going to battle this out with you. I want to reason with you. I want to press in. I want to pray. It doesn't matter how I'm feeling. It doesn't matter if I'm spiritual or if I'm not. God, I want to wrestle with you because I want to know your heart and I want to know your will. Because it's only your will and knowing you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here. You bring conviction. I believe there's someone here this morning that you have a heart pain. Someone close to you who you love very much has hurt you. If that is you, I would really like to pray with you. It's a family member. Can I just see who that is if you have a boldness just to say, and this is me. I'd really like to pray for you. And if you feel caged in, thank you. Thank you. If you feel caged in this morning with where you are, God has prayed this morning, it's about that battle thing. It's about that battle thing of intimacy with God. And if you feel free enough, you can come to the front and you can worship and battle that thing out with God, because only He can show it to you. Only the Holy Spirit can show it to you.